And joining us, as he does every week, of LandryFootball.com, it is the incomparable Chris Landry. Dave's gone today, Chris. It's just me and Katie, but you know, we love having you on anyway. Thanks for being the third.
Well, not just. It's great to be with you guys. Happy holiday, Merry Christmas, and happy holidays to the beautiful people of Sacramento, and certainly to everyone at the station, and especially you guys.
Yeah, we love having you on. It's been a great time so far, and as you kind of, you know, we got this Thursday night football game. We'll get right to it. Giants and Eagles, and you know, we know that the NFC East is a tough division, right? But the Eagles did start this season out 3-0, and Carson Wentz was the hottest thing since sliced bread. What is it that the league has figured out about him that's put a stop to this Eagles team?
Well, I think that, you know, it's pretty normal that when someone has that type of a start, that was the anomaly. I mean, he's going to have an outstanding career. He's actually playing a lot better than people think, but I think when you have that type of start, people think, oh, it's going to be this way all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just not realistic. The team is the least talented roster in that division, and they played, you know, fairly well. And as you mentioned, it's a tough division. They're only going to end up winning five or six games this year. But I think the future is good. And, you know, the Cowboys have had a great year. The Redskins have struggled defensively with all their injuries. And the Giants have been simply outstanding, and I'm very curious to see what type of fight the Eagles are able to put at home. These are division games. People think that they're not going to play real hard. Jobs are on the line. They always are among players at this time of year. But this Giants team's playing very well, and I'm very curious to see what defensively the Eagles are going to do against this Giants team. But then I'm very curious to see what the protections can how can they hold up against this Giants pass rush, and that's going to make it very difficult for Carson Wentz, I think.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, with us on KHTK. You know, you talk about that Eagles defense. They've been pretty solid this year, and we've talked with you about the job that Jim Schwartz has done there. I would be kind of concerned if I was an Eagles fan, because he's done such a good job. He might be looking at some head coach opportunities next year. Do you think that's a risk that they might, or not a risk, I guess, I'm
right.
Sorry, but you get what I'm saying. They
sure
might lose him in the offseason.
Well, it's always possible. I think that if you look at the openings, I think that we don't know what the Rams are going to do. I think they're trying to look to make a splash, and Jacksonville's probably looking for an offensive guy. I think there'll be some openings. Whether he's the right fit for some of the openings, we'll see. We know that there are two right now. Potentially, I think three more, or I think pretty solid that there's going to be three more. And then there's probably a group of six teams that might surprise, and you might have two or three out of that six that make a change. So it really will depend upon where the openings are and what the fits are. You know, I think Jim's done a really good job. You know, it wasn't that he was a complete failure in Detroit, but if you look around the league, what is the one prevailing thought in most cases is, how do we fix our offense? And that could be the right defensive coach or the right head coach, period, that hires the right offensive coordinator. But in most cases, they're looking at the bright, young offensive coordinator types to be their head coach. So Jim doesn't fit that mold, and I think that's why the Josh McDaniels and the Jim Bob Cooters and the Kyle Shanahans maybe are a little bit more in play than, say, the Matt Patricias or the Jim Schwartz type of guys that are very good coaches, deserving of being head coaches, but or they would those specific teams are looking for, that remains to be seen.
Chris, I'm curious from what you see in terms of the Eagles. Obviously, their defense has been the bright spot. But when you look at their offense, I mean, they are having a hard time really getting the ball downfield. I don't know what you kind of can blame that on. You're the guy that breaks down films. What do you see when you look at film of the Eagles? Is it who gets the blame in this situation?
Well, the personnel, Katie, and the receiving core is not very good. And that needs to be upgraded. They don't have guys that can get consistent separation and get downfield. And this is a big issue, is the protection up front has been very spotty. Now, getting Lane Johnson, you know, back, certainly, you know, getting some guys healthy have helped to some degree, but those are the two areas you've got to protect better. You know, everything that they did in Philly early with Carson Wentz is a lot of rollouts, half-field reads, get the ball out quickly. That's fine. That's great. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be able to make some plays downfield. And if the protections don't hold up, then the you know, every route has to coincide with the depth of the drops of the quarterback. And when you don't have protection and receivers can't get open quick enough, you're having problems. And it happens in a lot of places. It's happened in Green Bay this year, and they've been able to fix it a little bit with some guys coming back. But really, as I said, this Philadelphia team, while they've got some pieces together on defense, they're a long way away from where they need to be on offense to fix some of the issues. So it's a personnel issue, pure and simple. But the good thing for them is they found their quarterback, so they can move forward there. And that certainly was when you don't have a quarterback, you are compelled to find one. So now they can go about fixing the protections, getting playmakers at receiver and free agency and in the draft. And that's I think it's going to be a pretty good offseason, and I think the future's pretty good.
You know, a couple of teams that do have those quarterbacks in place, they're playing this weekend, Chris, in Oakland, the Raiders and the Colts. And, you know, everyone loves Andrew Luck, right? He's the prototype. But he's had plenty of struggles, whether it be injuries or a lack of talent around him, any of those various things. I still think he has a very bright future. But as it is right now, if you had to start a team, would you rather have Derek Carr or Andrew Luck?
Wow, that's a great question. I love them both. I probably – Luck is, to me – has been in the it's probably as frustrating a situation as I can see in the league, because they have done the worst job. And I like Chuck Pagano, and I really, you know, have a lot of respect, having worked in the league and doing a lot of work as a consultant. I understand the difficulty of the jobs, but certainly the job that they've done from a personnel standpoint, considering that they, pardon the pun, got lucky and got Andrew Luck, they have just done an awful job of building a team around him. You know, if you see him in the first couple of years, he took that team on his back and brought them into the playoffs with 10 wins virtually by himself. Mm-hmm. The protection has been awful. They've not been able to establish much of a running game. They've got a couple of playmakers at receiver, but with the protection being so bad, defensively, I think they're well coached. I think that they're at a stage where they're beginning to waste the time of Andrew Luck. I would love to see, with better personnel, this guy has greatness, and I think Derek Carr does as well. The difference is the Raiders, and boy, isn't it great to say this about the Raiders, because we were talking bad for years, it seems like decades, for how poorly the Raiders do things. But the Raiders are the team that are building a good roster. Their offensive line, good. Finding a way to run the football. They got playmakers at receiver. The defense has got two good edge rushers. You know, still need some work in the secondary. But this Raiders team is very good. So I like what the Raiders have got going, but, you know, around Derek Carr. But, you know, it's one of those I'd love to have both. But I think Andrew Luck is the one that's been hamstrung by a really insufficient job in the front office of putting a team together.
Chris Landry at LandryFootball.com joining us this morning on KHDK. Chris, this is the time of the season when things start to get really, really interesting. Just 2 weeks left in the regular season. So many games with playoff implications. If this, then that. These guys can go in. If these four guys, it's just crazy right now. When you look at this week's lineup of games, which one or ones do you think are going to be the most interesting?
Well, I think that, you know, from the standpoint of who gets in, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch what Miami can do, Kansas City, because those are the teams that are kind of hanging on, because Kansas City plays Denver. Huge game. I mean, in the Miami-Buffalo game, you know, Denver's still in it, but they're on the outs right now. So I think those games, you know, you got to get in first. And then certainly I'm very curious to see, you know, Green Bay, if they can take care of business against Minnesota to set up that game against Detroit next week, could be real interesting. And then, you know, I think Baltimore-Pittsburgh, boy, that's real interesting, because the division is on the line this week, but then a playoff spot too. So those games jump out at me. You know, Detroit-Dallas is intriguing. But, you know, I think those are the type of games, you know, Tennessee, Jacksonville, you know, Atlanta, Carolina, you know, Tampa, New Orleans. The one thing the league has done very well is they've backloaded the schedule with all these division games, and it keeps a lot of people alive. So if you think about it, and I did a little San Diego, Cleveland, San Francisco, the Rams, those are the only two games that don't really have any playoff implications to some degree. Now, Seattle, Arizona, Seattle's going to be in, but it still has some relevance towards, you know, a couple of things. But every other game has some sort of ramifications for the playoff for at least one of the teams, if not making it, but the seeding, whether you get a bye. So that makes for some really almost a playoff feel to it. In the second to last week of the season.
Chris Landry at LandryFootball.com with us on The Drive. You brought up that Broncos team. They've got a big couple of games ahead of them. Are you surprised, though? I mean, they're sitting there at 8-6, so it's not like this season has been a disaster. But are you surprised at the way they've struggled this year, kind of sitting on the outside looking in?
I'm not. In fact, it just felt like all year long they were going to have a problem. You know, everyone basically said, and I think incorrectly, that well, all they had last year was a defense, and the offense was awful. And it's just not true when you study the tape that there's no doubt they won the Super Bowl last year because of their defense. But they had experience at quarterback, and while there was not great, they were not great numbers, the ability to make checks at the line of scrimmage, to get some semblance of a running game, to allow the defense to be able to win it, to play that complementary football is something they were able to do last year. This year they can't do it. The offensive line problems that existed last year are even worse this year. Part of it is personnel, but a bigger part of it is they don't have that experience at quarterback that can get them out of a bad play into a better play. And so they can't run the football, and they don't have the ability to check out a bad play. So the defense, while you know you look at it, they're not playing as well. Well, why is that? Well, they lose Malik Jackson. That certainly hurts. But the big and Danny Trevathan. But the biggest issue is the defense is on the field way too much. So, you know, last year while they were able to protect that defense and keep them fresh, now the defense is on the field over and over and over again, and they're playing and holding people to 16 points, and they can't score 10. And so that's the problem, is they're not able to play that complementary type of football. And I thought it was very predictable. Did not like what they did on their offensive line. They don't have a running game, as I mentioned. They got a quarterback with no experience. And all of those decisions have come back to haunt them and are probably going to keep them on the outside looking into the playoffs. And if they do squeak in, it's going to be 1-0.
You know, Chris, I want to ask you about the Vikings. It's one of those teams that I've kind of been scratching my head over for a while now. I mean, they were 5-0, off to a great start, had a bye week in week 6, and since then have lost 7 of 9 games. And now I know Adrian Peterson was injured during that time. What's happening there, or is it just a matter of that he's that important to that team?
Well, he's important, but the biggest reason, Katie, was the decimation of injuries on the offensive line. They lost their two starting tackles. Then they took, you know, a backup guy and put him in at guard that just hasn't worked out at tackle. And so they had no ability at the line of scrimmage to protect for Sam Bradford or run the football consistently. So it's been a complete disaster on offense, and it is just a complete annihilation of that roster. You know, injuries are a part of the game, but when you start to have them in droves where you lose 3 and 4 guys on the offensive or defensive line, you really don't have any answers during the season. It's not like you got guys walking on the street that can come in and be anywhere near as effective. Mm-hmm. And so it just killed them. And you're right. In fact, it's an interesting statistic in that they are the team that has, as you mentioned, started 5-0. They're the team that had the latest unbeaten record and still didn't make the playoffs in NFL history.
Wow!
So you know they were the last team to lose, and they're not going to even make the playoffs. And that's the reason for it, pure and simple. Defensively, they're still playing hard. They're still playing well, and they're in a lot of games, but they can't find a way to get enough offense. And it's really not just Peterson. It's not Bradford. It's really the problems up front that has really killed them. And yet, you know, I bet they will play Green Bay pretty well this week.
Chris, we know the Browns aren't any good, so there's no hiding that. But Terrell Pryor's kind of been a bit of a bright spot at times this season. But for whatever reason, people just seem to hate this guy. I mean, you heard Adam Jones, Malcolm Jenkins, and really his response to it, to me, I don't think could have been more high road in most of that stuff. Alex Boone's talked bad about him. Recently, you've got Brian Hartline going on a local Cleveland radio station. He played with him at Ohio State and Cleveland. And I know that this is, you know, you're a little bit more at the X's and O's in the film and stuff. But, I mean, do you have any idea? Why do people hate Terrell Pryor so much?
Well, you know, I think that he's certainly a guy that on the field can talk a little bit. And I think people – that's just personality conflicts, as I like to call them. The guy plays hard. He plays well. You know, it's an outstanding player, competitor. I think some people get under other people's skin a little bit more. He tends to. He's physical, so there's a lot of hand-checking there. There's nothing he does that's wrong. It just, again, personality issues that exist within the league, and today all that stuff is out in the open, out in the public. They're guys that do a lot of things that can be frowned upon in the league. I think Terrell's just a guy that gets under people's skin, and it's nothing more than that.
Well, I mean, you've got – this is a guy that we've been hearing about Terrell Pryor since he was in high school.
And sure.
Do you think that it just kind of rubs some guys the wrong way, that this is a guy that basically is – everything he touches turns to gold. I mean, other than the Browns, but it's like he wasn't a quarterback. He struggled his way through the first 3 years in the league, and you put him at wide receiver, and he's a stud. Does that rub people the wrong way?
Probably, and the thing about it is a lot of guys don't have the attitude to make that transition. Mm. He did, and he worked extremely hard. And, you know, I think the guy is really a great success story about if you can take your athletic skills and transfer them and learn another position. I think he's pretty much a model for that type of a player that can find a way into the league. I mean, you know, I'll take a guy like a, you know, that's not nearly as athletic and who's everyone loves is Tim Tebow as a person. Tim was never committed to doing anything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so in some ways it's a different, it's different personalities and people, again, it rubs people the wrong way. That's fine. Maybe it's a little bit of jealousy because here's the thing about it. He's getting ready for a big payday. Yeah. He's not only made the transition, but he's made it very smoothly and very very effectively, and so he's going to get a big time payday. I just think it's a little bit of, you know, they're not winning, and so what's all the hype about? He's balling out. The quarterback play has not been good. Joe Thomas is a staple at left tackle. This is the worst roster in the league overall, though, in Cleveland. They're even worse than they were last year at this time. And he's a bright spot, and maybe that's a little bit of a polarizing figure when you have a guy like that that just gets under people's skin for whatever reason.
That's Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. And, Chris, with the holidays here, we know you got some great deals for the kids over at Landry Football.
Absolutely. For the football fan in your life, or even for yourself if you're a football fan, what a great holiday gift. If you sign up between now and December 31st, you get 60% off for a full calendar year. We'll break down the rest of the season, but of course, we'll get you ready. College football recruiting, NFL free agency, the draft. There's no offseason at LandryFootball.com. I'll take you through the rest of the offseason, all next season at this time. 60% off using the code 40 because it's $39.99, $40 for one full year using the code 40. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year from us to you. Take advantage of it. It's only good through December 31st. Great gift idea for looking for someone. It's late. You don't want to fight everybody at the malls. What a great opportunity for your football fan in your life.
Give them the gift of knowledge. I like that. We appreciate it, man. You have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, the whole deal, and we'll talk to you in
Chris.
2017.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a bunch. Appreciate it. And y'all be safe in the holidays, and God bless. Take care.
All right, take care, buddy. That's Chris Landry. Always a pleasure. And I thought, Katie, those were some great points about Terrell Pryor. Just cause, and I don't know why people don't bring that up more, the type of work ethic and commitment it takes and the humility to put yourself through that and start to excel at another position. I hated Terrell Pryor when he was in high school and even in college, mm-hmm. and I get that. He's one of those guys that you just heard too much about him. And I think, frankly, in Ohio, you're getting some of that oversaturation. It's been the Terrell Pryor show for, well, gosh, how old is the guy? I mean, since he was 16 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And so I can get why people might be a little burnt out on that, but I think Chris is absolutely right. That's a great story, and he's going to get paid in the offseason.
Yeah, he's going to get paid, and people can hate as much as they want. Opponents can talk as much crap as they want. It really doesn't matter. What comes down to it is what you're able to do on the field, which he's got that covered. And then also, yeah, he's going to get paid. So who's got the last word and all that?
Well, that's 2 hours in the books, guys, and we got a lot of good NFL talk in, and we're going to shift gears back to the NBA next. Of course, the Kings, they've won 4-6. They won last night. DeMarcus Cousins is hot, and Sam Amick knows just about everything there is to know about the NBA. So we'll check in with him when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.